Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You're ready? All right, let's hold up our sword. You see, we got a sword? Yeah, this is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Can we thank God for the Word today? Thank you for the Word today. And you know, we welcome everyone online. You know, our online audience is growing every week. Did you know that? So can we welcome everybody online today and our first-time guests? Did you know that we know actually we can track, you know, where the most nucleus people are that watch us online or are part of our church online? And of course, Missouri is first, right? But last weekend, you know what the most people were watching us in one area? Hawaii. I feel a call. Time for Kim and I just to pass the baton to Daniel and Tamara, and we go start a satellite church in Hawaii. Amen. But really, the most people other than Missouri were from Hawaii watching us online, being a part of our worship service. We greet you. We welcome you. Honolulu, Hawaii. Now you know why I've been saying that all these years. Calling them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Hawaii. Amen. Praise God. Well, open your Bibles with me today. We're talking about being a God worshiper, a God worshiper. And go to Psalm 25 and let me set this up again. Why? You know, why are we teaching on this? Because we want to go to a new level in our life of worship. If I were to ask you or go out on the street this afternoon and ask people, what is your image of worship at church? We get all kinds of different answers. You know, when I say worship, maybe you think of the church you grew up in. Maybe you think that worship is singing. Maybe you think that worship is just going to church. Maybe you think that worship is the song service. Maybe you think that worship is a posture, kneeling, bowing before the Lord, raising my hands. And you know, all of that. Maybe you think that worship is when you go to a concert. But I'm trying to take you deeper. I'm trying to make difficult things simple. That's always been my calling, to make the difficult simple. When you tell me on the lobby, boy, pastor, that was really simple today, then I did my job. Because I like to take difficult things that people can't understand or employ or apply in their life and make them simple so we can apply them daily into our life and grow spiritually. So when we talk about worship, we all have different mindsets, experiences. But what I'm sharing with you is that worship should be a lifestyle. Worship should be a lifestyle. Worship should not just be in my head, well, I'm going to come late because I really don't want to be a part of the worship service. It's boring. It's burdensome. I don't get anything out of it. You know, we've all been there. You know, I grew up in church. And, you know, when I grew up in church, you know, back when Moses crossed the Red Sea, they didn't have children's church. There was no such thing as children's church. When I grew up, you sat in church with your parents, okay? We had Sunday school. So you had Sunday school at 9:45, and then you had the worship service at 10:30. There was no children's church. You went to Sunday school class, and then you went to church. Anybody relate to that? Okay. So when I was growing up as a kid, you know, the song service was boring to me. I tried to sit in the back of the auditorium, and I couldn't wait till it got done, and we were passing notes and getting in trouble. You know? And so I don't know what your mindset might be, your perspective of worship, but I'm trying to change that this month. Notice every song we sang dealt with worship. Did you notice that on the screens, they were all, you know, glass, all like you would have in a church that looked like a church service? We do everything this whole month concerning to lead up to talk about, to focus on worship. What does a God worshiper look like? And so my objective this whole month is to take you to a new level so you can get more out of your worship. And it's 7:24. It's not Sunday or a Wednesday or a Saturday. It's 7:24. I'm 17 years old. I grew up in Iowa. I'm working at the Hy-Vee food store. I'm a sacker, and then I'm an aisle boy, but I'm into cars, okay? So I have a 1963 Chevy, super sport. Any of you car people know that is a cool car. No four-door, it's two-door, okay? A 63 Chevy, super sport, 327, four-speed, beautiful blue on the outside, beautiful blue on the inside. Cool car. I'm 17. I'm going to high school. I'm working at the grocery store. I'm making money so I can buy mag wheels and I can buy bigger tires and I can have the car detailed, you know, because I figured if you had a cool car, you would attract cool chicks, girls. And I did. Because you ask her after church, why did you go out with him? She'll tell you because he had a 1970 Boss Mustang 302, orange, black. She'll tell you that's why she went out with me. I had a cool car. So I had this 1963 Super Sport, 327, four-speed, beautiful car. But the guy who lived down the street from my parents was a mechanic. He was a mechanic. And so I went to him one day, and I said to him, how can I get more out of this car? See, this whole month, I want to help you get more out of praise and worship. I don't want it to be boring, burdensome, don't want to avoid, don't want to enter in, don't know how to engage, don't know how to do it, maybe been hurt or wounded, church hurt, whatever it might be. I want you to get more. I'm going to show you how to get more other than an event, a song service, a concert. I'm going to help you get more out of worship. That's my objective. So I went to him and I said, you know, it's cool. It's awesome, but I want to get more out of my car. He said, well, Dave, real simple. We can put a racing cam in it. We can put bigger pistons in it. We can put headers on it. We can put dual quads on it, 2-4 barrels. Interpretation for those of you who don't know. Revelation about cars. And he said, that would be bad to the bone. You get a lot more horsepower. You get, it'd be a whole lot cooler. So you know what I did? I let him do it. I let him do all that to my 63 Super Sport, beautiful car. I let him add horsepower. And you know what? I got more out of that car when I was driving on the street. Can you relate to this? So I want you to get more. I don't want worship to be burdensome, 3 minutes and you don't know what to do. I want you to encounter God like you've never encountered him before. Oh, come, let us adore him. It's all around Christmas. Oh, come, let us adore him and worship him. So we looked at last week, we talked about, you know, the value of what worship really is. When you see the value of it, you want to develop the skill of it. Last weekend, if you weren't with me, that's what we talked about. The value, the benefits, the rewards of worship that's authentic. That was last weekend. So let's look at this. Psalm 25, verse 12. This is where I get the title of my series. My question, what are God worshipers like? What are God worshipers like? Okay? The whole series is on being a God worshiper. Again, you ask people what worship means to them, you're going to get all kinds of definitions, but let's go to the Bible. My question is, what are God worshipers like? Your answer, they're like arrows aimed at God's bullseye. They're like arrows aimed at God's bullseye. Did you know that God has a bullseye for your life? You know what that's called? The call. The will of God. The call of God. You know what it's called? Your assignment. You know what it's called? We lead people to a God is for them and help them discover His purpose. It's your purpose. A real God worshiper is focused on, devoted to, committed to the call of God on their life. A real God worshiper makes priority God's purpose for their life. A real God worshiper focuses on, works on, makes the most important thing, the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the call of God on your life. That's God's bullseye for your life. A real God worshiper is not somebody who runs the aisles, not somebody who can speak in tongues, not somebody who can stand and, you know, raise their hands for 45 minutes in a church service, not somebody who can sing in the choir. A real God worshiper aims their life at God's bull's eye. Kim and I were not happy until we decided to do that in 1975. A real God worshiper says, gets to the point in their life where it's not about me, God, it's all about you. It's not about my plan, it's all about your plan. God's bullseye for your life is your call. And everyone under the sound of my voice, all of you in Hawaii, everybody in Missouri, you all have a call from God on your life. And until you accept it and devote your life to it, you can't be a complete, relevant, authentic God worshiper. We're either worshiping man, a mammon, or God. Am I right? God said you're either worshiping mammon, that's money, or God. Or we're worshiping man or God. And God said, I'm a jealous God. You can worship no other God but me. A real God worshiper wants to know God's will, God's purpose, God's plan, God's call on their life. It wasn't until Kim and I surrendered our life in 1975 did we become fulfilled, satisfied, and happy. No one will be fully satisfied, fully complete until they surrender to God's bull's eye. A God worshiper is more than someone who can sing a song, hit a note, or play an instrument. So many people in the church think that worship is just limited to 20 minutes on Sunday morning. It's 7:24. It's more than singing. It's more than playing an instrument. It's more than clapping my hands. It's more than singing in the Spirit. All of that's good, but that's not what an authentic, relevant, real God worshiper is all about. It's all about hitting God's bullseye for their life. Am I communicating this morning? If you didn't get anything else, you should have got that today. See, you should come to church to find out God's plan for your life. Then let me, as your pastor and shepherd and our team, help you fulfill that call for your life. That's what it's all about, Christianity. Before you were ever born, God called you. Before you were ever thought of in your parents' mind, God had a destiny for you. Don't live a life of regret. Don't come to the end of your life and say, I wish I coulda, woulda, shoulda, and you wasted your life. Real God worshipers won't waste their life. Next verse, verse 13. They settle down in a promising place. Their kids inherit a prosperous farm. And we talked about that last week. That's a metaphor. So notice, you accepting the call and God's plan for your life will affect your children. You being a God worshiper, can I just say, totally sold out to God, totally surrendered to God? That's a God worshiper, complete, a living sacrifice. Wow. God friendship is for God worshipers. So we found out that God shares things with God worshipers that He doesn't share with other people. He'll share secrets with you. This is the value of real worship. He'll tell you what's wrong, how to correct it. He'll tell you when you get off course and how to get back. He'll tell you how to raise your kids. He'll tell you how to build a business. He'll tell you what school to go to. He'll tell you what to invest in. He'll tell you who not to become a partner with. He'll tell you secrets. That's some of the benefits of being a God worshiper, not only affecting you, but affecting your family, affecting your decisions, affecting your relationships. God friendship is for God worshipers. They are the ones he confides in. Here's the Passion Translation. Who are they that live in the holy fear of God? You will show them the right path to take. Being a God worshiper, God guides your life. Don't go to Google when you can go to God. Don't go to Google when you can go to God. Don't go to AI when you can go to the I am. Their prosperity and favor will be their portion. That's fulfillment. That's satisfaction. That means different things to all of us. Prosperity and favor, being a God worshiper. So going to church on a Sunday morning and bringing my family is not wasted time. It's going to church and being there and leading my family in praise and worship and fellowship and the word and taking action is not wasted time. I'm building a life. I'm building a family. I'm leaving a legacy. I'm affecting my children. I'm affecting the hereafter. I'm affecting my life, being fulfilled or unfulfilled. And their descendants will inherit all that is good. There's a private place reserved for lovers of God. A God worshiper is a lover of God. And here's what I know. Real love takes action. Real love takes action. I can't say I love Church on the Rock and not be a tither. If I love Church on the Rock, I'll take action and support that. If I love somebody, if I love Pastor Kim, then I'm going to follow through with action. Real love is not apathetic, lethargic, or passive. Real love. A God worshiper is a lover of God. If I really am a God worshiper, I love God. And if I really love God, that leads me to action. I take action. There's a private place reserved for lovers of God where they sit near him and receive, look at this, revelation secrets of his promises. God reveals to you what he doesn't reveal to those who are non-God worshipers. That simply means that being a God worshiper and putting God first and being a lover of God, that God will share things with me he won't share with other people. That I'll see things other people won't see. Pastor Kim talked about fear of the future in her prayer time. When I'm a God worshiper, God will show you things to come, and God will show you how to prepare for them as a God worshiper. Worship is more than 20 minutes. Worship is more than an event or a concert. Worship is more than a posture. Worship is more than singing, writing songs. Worship is a lifestyle, a God worshiper. Bullseye of God is living out God's plan for your life. Don't waste your life. Don't regret your life. Don't wait till it's too late with your life. We as a God worshiper were aimed at hitting God's bullseye for our life. What is that? God's plan and purpose for your life. Y'all still with me, family? John 4:23. It gets better. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers. So there's a worship that God receives and there's a worship that he doesn't receive. There's a fake worship and a real authentic worship. When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, look at this. God is looking for people who will worship him. God is looking for people who will worship him. When I decide to go all out, when I decide to go whole hog, when I decide to go all the way, when I decide to surrender my life totally, and that's what they were singing about a while ago, our young people, when I decide to do that, wow, God begins to look me up and look me out and look out for me. He's looking for people who will be authentic. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Real, authentic worship is this. I just want to give you 3 points today. Again, I want to make it simple. I want to make it applicable in our life so we can change and transform our life. Real worship should transform me. If my worship doesn't move me, it doesn't move God. If my worship doesn't move me, it doesn't move God. He's looking for those who will worship him in truth and in spirit. So, Pastor, where do I begin? I grew up in church, but worship was boring. It was either too short, too long, too loud, too quiet. Songs I couldn't relate to. I couldn't wait till it was over. I thought that's all it was. I didn't do it daily. I didn't do it throughout the day. I didn't respond in worship throughout the day to God as I was going through the daily cares of life. Pastor, how do I get more out of, like you got more out of your 63 Supersport Chevy. How do I get more out of my worship? How do I do that? Let's just start right here, okay? Three simple ways I want to share with you today. Number one, to know who God is. That will change my perception of worship. When I concentrate on knowing who God is, look at the overheads. I need an accurate picture of God to respond correctly to him. Worship is my response to the God that I see. Oh, that's powerful. Worship is my response to the God that I see. If I think God is aloof, if I think God is mad at me, if I think God has been bad to me, then guess what? My response to him, well, I don't want to be close to him. I don't want to know him. I don't want to worship him. I don't want to embrace him. But if my picture is this, God is a good God. God is for me. God has a plan for my life. Anything bad in my life never comes from God. It always comes from the devil. When I have that accurate picture of knowing who he is, I respond differently to him as worship. To know who God is, for me to go to a new level in my worship, I have to focus on his attributes and his actions. His attributes and his actions. Read the book of Psalms. Proverbs is for your head. Psalms is for your heart. Proverbs is for your head. Psalms is for your emotions. Read the book of Psalms and you'll see the psalmist always talking about the attributes of God and the actions of God. Say that with me, attributes and actions. Again, attributes and actions. The psalmist was moved to action. The psalmist was moved in his love for God. The psalmist, because more than David wrote the book of Psalms, but whoever the psalmist was, they were moved closer to God, to embrace God, to love God more, to express it with action by focusing on his attributes and focusing on his actions. It can't help you but want to move closer to a good God, a great God, a gracious God, a forgiving God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an all-present God. Come on, somebody. So when God delivered the people out of Egypt, remember Moses, his name means to draw out. He was living out his purpose. He drew out the people of bondage. Moses' name means drawn out. He lived out his purpose. He led the people out of bondage. He drew them out of Egypt. And he was to take them into the promised land. But as soon as they got out of Egypt, do you know what God said to him? He said to him, here's the God that I am. Reveal me to the people so they'll worship me. As soon as they got delivered, he revealed himself to the people so they would know his attributes and his action. Didn't he say, I am the God who threw the horse and the rider into the sea? I am the God that delivered thee. Read the book of Exodus when he talks about the God that he was. As soon as he delivered them, he wanted them to worship him. And for them to worship him, they had to know his attributes and his actions. They had to know him. People that are bored, people that are complacent and lethargic and passive over worship don't know who God is. I owe God everything today. Okay? So for me to get more out of my worship and be a God worshiper and get the rewards of that, I have to know who God is. I have to have an accurate picture of God. I have to focus on his attributes and actions. Number two, for me to go to a new level, for me to go to a new level of my worship. And remember, worship will heal you, transform you, give you peace, give you joy, get rid of depression, show you what's wrong with your credit cards, your investments, show you how to correct your finances, your family. Worship does all that. We talked about it last week, okay? But for some people, they want to hack their way to God. They want a shortcut. There is no shortcut. So for me to go to a new level as a God worshiper, I have to love God with all my heart, all my mind, and my strength. Okay, now watch this. You love God with your heart, and you love God with your mind, and so there is your strength. Whoa, I'm going somewhere now. Matthew 22:37. As you look at the overheads, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, that's strength, and all your mind." Did you know worship starts in your mind? Worship starts in your head. Worship starts in your thought life. Worship starts by just pausing and do a selah and think about God throughout the day. It starts in your head, it goes to your mouth, it drops in your heart, it shows up in your life. I hope you got that. I have to be thinking about God on the way to church. I have to be thinking about God when I wake up during the night. That's a God worshiper. Worship starts in your mind. Notice you love God not only with your heart, but with your mind. You love God with your mind. You ever heard this before, this phrase? Well, boy, they just think so much of them. They just think so much of them. They worship the ground that they walk on. You ever heard that? Okay. You know, when Kim and I were dating, you know, I'd say, "I love her so much." And my parents would say, "Oh, you just worship the ground she walks on." They're right. And she was on my mind all the time. On my mind, a God worshiper all the time. Real worship starts in your mind. Real love for God starts in your mind. You can't love someone you don't know. You can't love someone you don't know. And you get to know them in your mind by studying their attributes. Boy, this is good stuff, Holy Spirit. And their actions, okay? So you must love God with all your heart, your strength, and your mind. I'm telling you that if you want to go to a new level as a God worshiper, you got to think about God more than 1 hour on Sunday. I know y'all do, but we're talking to the world, okay? All right? Verse 38. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is the greatest commandment, to love God with all of my mind, my thought life. Then it gets into my mouth, then it drops into my heart. See, you get what's in your head, in your heart, with your mouth. You get what's in your head, in your heart, with your mouth. Okay? Your mouth is the doorway to your spirit. This is the first and greatest commandment. Look what it says in the Passion Translation. Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart." This love for God surrenders. This love for God satisfies. This love for God gives up. I remember, you know, when I finally surrendered to God totally. I'll tell you the story, Kim and I, in 1975, when I finally surrendered to God and we went away to college. I come back and see my old friends that I grew up in high school, and they say, "Hey, Blunt, let's go get drunk." I don't do that anymore. "Hey, Blunt, let's go get in a fight. Let's go get this, that." I don't do that anymore. "Hey, Blunt, let's go do that." Well, what happened to you? I've changed. I've given up. I don't do those things anymore. Well, why not? Because I have a new love, a new passion, a new desire. This love causes you to surrender your time. God worshipers surrender their time. 250 of them yesterday morning, our dream team. This love for God surrenders your time, your talent, your gifts, your resources, your money. It surrenders. The love for God, we're not just talking about a religious, look stoic kind of love. We're talking about being a God worshiper. And it starts by knowing Him. And then secondly, it starts in your head, your thought life. Okay? Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being. That's why I say to the staff, on Sunday morning, give me all your energy. I don't want leftovers. I don't want you hanging out on Saturday night and come in just dragging on Sunday morning. God deserves all of our energy. God doesn't deserve leftovers. He deserves our very best. If I love Him, He's going to get my very best. If I'm a God worshiper, He's going to get all of me. If I'm a God worshiper, He's going to get my time. He's going to get my energy. He's going to get my money. He's going to get my gifts. He's going to get my ability. If I'm a God worshiper, He gets all of me, not part of me. And look at this. And with every thought that's within you. Family, most Christians don't know this. You see this? Love your God with the energy and with every thought that's within you. Where does my love for God begin? In my thought life. In my thought life. Where does my passion, my love, my energy, my motivation, my zeal as the team comes out? Where does it all start? In my thought life. Because most people, God is not in their thoughts. Okay? So number three, I have to renew my mind and put God in my thoughts. Look at the overhead, Psalm 10:4, the last part. God is not in all their thoughts. God is not in all the, it's talking about sinners. It's talking about people who don't know God. God, they don't even think about God. They don't have time for God. What? Sunday mornings for soccer practice for my kids. Sunday mornings basketball practice for my kids. God, church, what's that all about? They don't have time for God. God's not in their thoughts. They think going to church is a waste of time. It's boring. It's religious. Their idea of worship is three Hail Marys. It's more than that. It's 724. It's a lifestyle. It's total surrender. Am I connecting with anybody? See, this is how you're going to get more out of your 63 Super Sport Chevy with a higher cam, different pistons, 2.4 barrels, headers, and Flowmasters. This is how you're going to get more out of church. I got to be thinking about God on Sunday morning when I get up on my way to church. I got to be thinking about God on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, a real God worshiper. And if I want all those benefits, wow, then I got to get to know Him. Then I've got to love Him. And to do that, I got to renew my mind in the Word of God. God is not in their thoughts. How much time this week did you think about God? How much time did I think this week about God? Not Church on the Rock, but you know, this morning my phone came up and it said, you spent this many hours and minutes this week on this device. I hate it when it does that, don't you? I hate it when it does that, but this morning, you know, Pastor Kim and I got up at 5:30, we're praying for you, and it come up on my phone and said, you spent so many hours and so many minutes this week on your phone. I'm thinking, well, how much time did I spend with you, God? Getting quiet in this church. How much time did I spend with you, God, thinking about you, how much you love me, how you're for me, how you sent your son to die for me, about Christmas and incarnation, and what Christmas is really all about. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're going to close with this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He's done for you. I worship Him because of all that He's done for me. I should be dead. I was growing up, and you know, my parents are in heaven. My whole family's in heaven. But you could ask them if they were here. Ask them when they get to, you get to heaven. But they said, you're never going to live past 30. My mom, my dad, they said, you keep going the way you're going when I was in high school. They said, you'll be dead at 30. A lot of my closest friends are dead or in prison. I shouldn't be here today. I shouldn't be in the ministry for 40 years, 41 years. It's all because of His mercy and His grace and His love and His plan. And so because of all that He's done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. Look at this. This is truly the way to worship. Did you know saying no to your flesh is worship? Did you know controlling your body is worship? Did you know saying no to lust, and lust is an out of controllable desire, and not only sex, it can be food, it can be technology, it can be iPhones. Lust is an out of control desire. Did you know for me to control my desires is an act of worship? For me to say no to my flesh is an act of worship? Doesn't this blow your mind? It's more than 20 minutes of singing. It's more than a worship concert. It's a lifestyle. Notice, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your body to God. We have to do that voluntarily. It's our responsibility. Because why should I do that? Because all that He's done for you. Be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He's acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Controlling my body, putting the flesh under. When it says, I'm too tired to go to church, flesh, shut up, you're going to church. I'm too tired to raise my hands, flesh, shut up, you're raising your hands. I'm too tired to go serve, flesh, shut up, you're going to go serve. I don't feel like giving today, flesh, shut up, you're going to be a giver. When you do that, that's worship. When you do the right thing instead of the wrong thing, that's worship. When you align your decisions and your actions with the Word of God, that's worship. When I put the flesh under, that's worship. Glory to God. Next verse, verse 2, and I'm about done. Have I helped anybody today at all? Well, I hope so. This is revelation knowledge. Don't copy the behavior. See, I want to know what you're like tomorrow at your house with your family. I want to know the attitude, the actions. That's worship. It's more than Sunday for an hour. It's 7:24. It's how do you respond when you're hurt, when you're made fun of, when you're belittled, when you can't pay a bill, when you got symptoms, when you're being under persecution, when you're in a trial. Worship is responding correctly to God. Worship is responding correctly to God. Wow. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How are you going to do that, God? It's going to start in your head. It's going to start with your thought life. By changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. Worship begins in your head. Worship begins with your one-year Bible. Worship begins in reading the Word and it changing old thoughts to new thoughts. And we put it in our mouth and it drops in our heart and our lifestyle changes. And that love for God grows, because to know Him is to love Him. And real love leads to action. So now I really act like a Christian. That's all, folks. I can tell you're done. If you got something today, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let me give you just a takeaway here. I got seven things. So worship is all about, because we only got two more weekends, worship, and Daniel's going to be speaking, I think, next weekend. Kim and I will be in Hawaii with our satellite church. Starts with salvation. It starts there. Then number two, surrender. God worshipers surrender. And then three, sacrifice. Real worship is sacrifice. And then number four, sanctification. Remember, real worship changes me. Don't really want to do. Changes my desires. Wow. It's on the overheads. And then real worship is service. If I'm a God worshiper, I want to serve. Because I love my brother. Remember that first commandment? Love God with all of your heart and mind and strength, and then love one another. So if I really love God and I'm a God worshiper, I want to serve. Love goes to action. And then number six, I need a system for spiritual growth. A system, daily habits for spiritual growth. And I conclude with this. I love this verse. It goes along with Pastor Kim's prayer. Psalm 54:6. Y'all see it? Let's all read it on three. Can we do that all together? One, two, three. A God worshiper is, God, I give you everything I am. I give you everything I have. I give myself freely, not because I have to, because I want to. That's a real God worshiper. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the word. God, help us as a church family to go deeper in our worship, that it affects us, our family, our neighborhood, our city, our state, our community. We want to know you like we've never known you before. We want to go to a new level in you. We want our worship to take on a different mindset. So, Father, I give you all the praise. Your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's been sent out to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving. Online, I sure do love you. I thank you for joining us today. If you're watching and you say, Pastor, wow, a whole different mindset on worship and church and what it's all about. Pastor, I realize I need God today. I need God in my life. I need change in my life. I need help in my life. Pray for me. I want to make him Lord of my life. Or Pastor, I'm a believer, but I need to reset my life today. I can see there are several areas of my life that God wants me to change. I need him to help me. I want to go to a new level. If that's you, punch the button on your device, because faith is an act. You've got to do something. We're in agreement with you. Here in this room and out in the lobby, you know, before we're dismissed and we have the toy giveaway yet today, we have all kinds of things going on in the lobby, on the campus. But before we go, anyone in this room, you see, Pastor, that's me. I need God. I don't want a fake God, a false God. I don't want a toy God. I don't want a little God. I want to know God. And my picture of God determines how I respond to him. I want to know him as he is. I want to learn how to love him. It starts with my head. I realize I need to start reading my Bible, renewing my mind. It all starts there in my head, my mouth, my heart, my life. Pastor, I want to know God. I need God. Pray for me. Or, Pastor, I'm already a believer, but God's dealing with me. Pray for me right now. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Faith is an act. You got to do something, church. Do it now. Put your hand right up. Keep it up for just a few seconds. Jesus said, if I'm ashamed of him before man, he's ashamed of me before God. Just put it up high. Wait a second. Put it up high. Put it right back down. Church, let's help him. Let's all pray out loud. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I want to go in a new direction. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.